Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Molly Hemman. Molly is a senior at Glenwood Springs High School, who has devoted her capstone project to the study and research of her family's genealogy. We sat down recently to talk about her family, her future plans, and her interest in ancestry. Molly Hemman, welcome to the Immigrant Stories Project. I'd like to start by thanking you for your interest in the project. It's not often that a young person, at least in my from my experience, that is so interested in ancestry. How did you get involved in learning more about your family?
Thank you. Two summers ago, I visited Philadelphia with my mom and her friend, and we were staying with her mother. She's a family friend now, Vance Pallett. And I got the opportunity. We started talking about genealogy, and she has done years and years of research and had a couple of scrapbooks and different antiques. And it, from her family, it really inspired me to look into that, into my family. So I contacted a few of my outside family, and we had talked about a couple people had already done some research, and I finished it. Essentially, it's almost all completed, so.
Well, good for you for doing that.
Thank you.
From what you've researched, what did you learn about why your people came here?
So about 47% of myself, I'm from North Holland, and that's really big agriculture and farming. And there just wasn't enough room anymore, from what I gathered, and weren't making enough money. So my family immigrated to Iowa, where they just did the same thing, just more agriculture and farming. And yeah.
Well, Iowa's kind of flat, like,
yep,
like Holland
just
was.
Just like North Holland.
Yeah, a lot of immigrants are attracted to places that look like home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what I noticed. I just got the opportunity to go and visit where my family is from in Holland.
Yeah, tell me about your trip.
Yeah, so we started in Amsterdam, and we spent a week there. And then we got to go up to one of the bigger towns where my family is from. And looking around and comparing it to Iowa, it's pretty much exactly the same. They're from a small town called Finsterwold up in North Holland, and it's right on the water. It's on the coast. And as far as, you know, you're looking out, I went to Groningen, which is nearby Finsterwold. It's just fields and fields and water. So really good for agriculture. But yeah, definitely just like Iowa.
Is that what your people did when they came here? Were they were in agriculture?
Yes.
What kind of things did they do?
You know, all I've been able to get from that is just farming. There wasn't an exact, anything that I've found. I
do think, you
know, just overall.
Do you know
when they came? The earliest record that I have of my family coming to the United States is from 1907. It would have been my great, great, great grandpa and his wife. And I think at the time they had three children and then later on had one more in Iowa.
Yeah, that was a time of mass migration. There were a lot of people coming at that time.
Yes. And they came before the war. When I started my project, before World War II, I thought possibly they may have immigrated because I didn't know when, because of the war. Holland was almost completely starved out during World War II. And so I was talking to my dad, and he didn't know when they immigrated either. We didn't have an exact idea. So I was thinking possibly that was the reason, but they did immigrate before. And we are assuming it's because at the time there wasn't really much else to farm up in North Holland.
Well, and that was true of a lot of immigrants in different countries. I've heard that story before where there were large families and, you know, there's only so much land to go around, and then you don't get a piece of the land. There's too many of you.
Yes. Yeah. And I've been able to get back to 1757. My great, 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 great grandma. And so she was also near Finsterwold. It's funny looking at all my family. They never went more than, you know, 20 miles away from each other in the towns they lived in. And she was actually from a really small town in northern Germany. And when I say 20 miles, I mean really like almost spitting distance from the border of Germany. They were both very close, and they just moved between towns. But for over a century, my family was in agriculture and farming up in North Holland and North Germany. So, yeah, I think they just ran out of things to farm. They'd been doing it for so long.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Molly Hemman. Molly is a senior at Glenwood Springs High School who has devoted her capstone project to studying her family's genealogy. Here she talks about her family who came from Holland and settled in Iowa.
Do you know much about what they did once they got here? What's the story in Iowa?
So I think for a couple of decades, my family stayed in Iowa. And, well, actually, my dad moved to Arizona with his mom. So a majority of my family is still there, also in Illinois. And it was primarily farming until, probably the 1960s or so. From what I could tell from the records, just industrial and farming in Iowa. And not so much anymore. I don't think anyone has a farm. Everybody's branched out to different careers.
Nobody in your family, but there's still lots of farming.
Yes, there's still lots of farming in Iowa.
What are some of your family members doing? What sort of industry did they go into? How do you know the different paths they took?
Well, I think just anywhere from education to construction. Yeah, I think some real estate in there too. Definitely a lot of educators in my family.
How did your mother make her way?
My mom and dad met in Arizona. And we are the only members of my family to live in Colorado. But we have family in California and Arizona and Texas. And it was interesting also looking at my mom's family tree, kind of her half. I've gotten her, I believe, to 1907. So when my dad's side of the family came to the United States, and my mom is still in West Virginia, her side. So I believe, from what I could tell, my mom's side of the family is certainly could have been in one of the first colonies here in the United States.
Well, what's her maiden name?
Bonnet. And it has a French origin, but it was interesting when we did the DNA, we weren't finding any French. It was mainly Switzerland and also some Holland, Germany, Northern European countries. But the name changed. It's interesting. Both of my parents' family names changed. My dad's was originally Heijen, H-E-I-J-E-N, and now it's Hemmen, H-E-M-M-E-N. Huh. Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I believe when they came over and they landed in the United States, it wasn't so much they were listening out for every word and letter within the name. It was just more of, I'm going to write down what I heard you say, and that'll be it. And so my mom's also changed from, I believe it was just B-O-N-N-E-T, which is Bonnet, a little different than what it is now. Right. But, yeah.
Yeah, that happened a lot to immigrants.
Yeah.
They're dealing with hundreds of people in a given day or thousands, and a lot of times they were none too careful about their name. Or some of the stories where people went, you don't need that extra syllable in there.
Yep.
And so it already, the Americanization of people's names had already started when they first hit. Some people chose to change their name just so they could appear more American. Do you have stories of that in your family?
I do not. Not from what I've found, but I do definitely know that people will change their names. I've heard even first names or last names, so it's easier to pronounce by Americans. And so I'm just assuming at the ports, it was just whatever they heard. And if they couldn't pronounce it at the ports, then it was no longer that name. So I think it's just really interesting over time how different last names change and become more American, you could say, as right. They're in the country.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My guest today is Molly Hemman, who is a senior at Glenwood Springs High School.
I want to circle back and ask you about your trip to Holland.
Yes.
We don't call it Holland anymore, do we?
No, the Netherlands
the
now.
Netherlands,
yeah,
yes.
Because there are two
right.
provinces.
Okay. Well, tell me about your trip. What were some of the things that stood out for you as far as your family and seeing where they came from?
I've gone on a lot of trips before. I've been fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I think being able to go back to where my family is from and experience, you know, I mean, I wasn't farming down there, but just experience where they used to live and the culture of the Netherlands and the food and the language was such an amazing experience. I've actually decided I'm going to start learning Dutch because it was, really? it was such an amazing experience to be able to hear the language. And my dad growing up said his great grandpa spoke Dutch and he didn't know him for a while. I think he passed when my dad was young, but I think it'd be interesting to bring it back into the Hemmen family and just to be able to have that language. I've also been thinking about studying abroad in the Netherlands. Again, just to stay in touch with my ancestry.
That's very interesting. You must have been one of the things that I would imagine. I had this experience when I went to Ireland, mm-hmm. that it was almost like I could feel them there.
Yes.
And did you have that feeling? Did you get that sense of your ancestors and that spirit of their lives there?
I did, yeah. We got to go in the holiday season, and there's a lot of fun Dutch traditions. Just with, you know, Santa Claus and the holidays, and everyone's very spirited. And I was just so proud of my Dutch heritage on that whole trip. And I was going off about all the food, and I was texting my friends and telling them how beautiful it is. And it was just a very, very cool experience to be able to go back to where my family is from. And I'm so proud to be Dutch. And, you know, I just think everything about it, the language is so beautiful to me. And the food is very fried, but still very good. Yeah, and everyone's lifestyle there, like from, you know, everyone bikes there. And I didn't really enjoy biking before I went, but now I'm like, oh, that's so cool. My ancestors probably biked everywhere too, so now I want to do it.
Yeah. Was it there that you decided that you were going to learn the language?
Yes. Before we went, I always like to try to learn a little bit of the language of where I'm going to go. Because I know while the Netherlands is actually one of the top English-speaking countries, I know that it's always appreciated in foreign countries to try to learn the language. And so I got a little help, but with some interactions in stores or restaurants, I was able to speak a little bit of Dutch. And I just decided, well, you know, if I'm interested enough in the Netherlands and I want to come back to study abroad here, I might as well learn the language. And it's very interesting. I speak a little bit of Spanish that's from my mom, but also I think adding Dutch would be a very good broadening of my horizons of languages.
Well, let me ask about your parents. How did they get together?
So my dad was friends with my aunt Jeannie's ex-husband, Chris, and he was at their wedding. My mom was obviously at the wedding because it's her sister's wedding. And my mom was flipping through the scrapbook later with my aunt of the wedding guests. And she goes, oh, who's that? He's pretty cute. And she found him. She found his number and called him. And that's it.
There it is.
My dad kind of jokes it's a little bit of a creeper story, but
no, it could be romantic.
Yeah.
And isn't it time that we got to that place where women can call men?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So your mother was ahead of her time.
Yeah, I think it was just it's a really funny story. Honestly, I'm like, all right, that's how. So
you probably like that about her, you know?
Yeah.
That
very straightforward.
Yeah, exactly.
And they lived in Arizona, gosh, I don't know, probably, I think right after they got married in 1996, they moved to Colorado, and they lived in Boulder for a couple years. My mom was an assistant principal down there, and my dad, I believe, was starting his land surveying career. He used to be a real estate agent in Arizona. And then they moved to Gypsum, where my mom was then still a principal. I'm not quite sure where. I believe in Eagle. Yeah, Eagle Valley High School. And then they moved to Glenwood. They actually honeymooned in Glenwood. And their car broke down. It wasn't intended to be here. And they loved the town so much that they decided to stay. And my dad worked at Summit Canyon Mountaineering here in Glenwood. And then once again got back into land surveying. And he's at SGM now. My mom is principal at Ross Montessori School in Carbondale. And just another little funny fact about them. in Phoenix. They lived across the canal from each other, but never met as children.
Huh, really?
Yeah. North 37th Avenue, the canal that separates that area of Phoenix. Yeah. Never met each other.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, there's a rom-com there.
I know, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Across
it's funny.
The canal. And
yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Molly Hemman. Molly is a senior at Glenwood Springs High School who has devoted her capstone project to studying her family's ancestry.
You, like I said initially, I'm interested in that you, I mean, you know, you did this project because, you know, it's part of your schooling, your scholastic.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it that drew you to look at your ancestry?
You know, even if it was academic, I still think I would have done it anyways. Ancestry to me has always been so interesting. When I was younger, the Ancestry commercials would come on and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I should get into that. And I did one day. I mean, the capstone, what I'm doing this for, was just a stepping stone. And I was like, well, might as well do it now instead of waiting more. And I texted my Uncle Kevin on my dad's side, and he had done some work on that, and I got it from him, and I added on to it. I was able to use my mom's friend's Ancestry account, which was a big money saver.
Yeah.
And I was just surprised by all the connections I had in the United States. A few years ago, we got a phone call from someone in New Jersey with the same last name, Hemman. No relation, but just other people researching their genealogy. And I think it's often overlooked by kids my age in their teens, and it's just more of something for that comes in later life for people to look up. Whether I've found a lot of people will look it up after a loved one dies and they want more insight on what they didn't get to hear or whatever. But just getting that extra information on my family has been really cool. Just, you know, we knew we were Dutch, but we didn't know what percent. My mom thought she was Native American, and she's actually Nigerian.
Wow.
So just...
Is that from your research?
Yeah, we did a DNA sample, and we're actually circling back around to that. We're not sure how feasible that is, just because it was a DNA test, and sometimes those can go wrong. Because she's always been told she was Native American, but just having different ideas and DNA tests. So we're circling back around to that one. But
you had a rough start to your life, didn't you?
A little bit.
A few challenges.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Let's talk about you.
All right, thanks. My favorite topic. No, I'm kidding. my mom, when she was pregnant with me, got preeclampsia, which is an illness where, you know, I don't really know how to explain it very easily, but I had to come early. I was born
at... Really early.
I was born at 26 weeks, which is almost 4 months early. And I was in the hospital for 85 days after I was born. When my mom got really sick, she went to Valley View Hospital here in Glenwood, and they couldn't support her there, so I was airlifted with my mom, so still in my mom, to Presbyterian St. Luke's in Denver, where my mom gave birth to me, and I stayed in an incubator for the first 3 months of my life, and my mom stayed at the Ronald McDonald House a couple blocks away, which is they'll let parents of sick children stay.
Right, right.
And my dad would commute back from Glenwood Springs every weekend or so, or every week he would come up. I knew he was there. And so as a preemie, I was born at 1 pound, 7 ounces, and I was 8 inches long. I had all sorts of tubing, and I had to, you know, I couldn't breathe. And so the tubing scratched my throat. Nothing serious. A lot of preemies have complications where, you know, some can't walk. There's differing brain functions. I'd say I'm definitely one of the lucky ones. I made it out of being born prematurely with a scratched throat that gave me asthma. And I have a learning disability in math. pretty much every preemie, well, actually every preemie does not have the same amount of brain neurons. And so preemies do not have the same learning capabilities as those born at the right time, after 9 months. And it's kind of weird to explain to people, because as a kid in like middle school, they'd be like, oh, you're kind of bad at math. Like, why? And I'm like, well, you know, everybody's different, first of all. But I never like to say I can't, because I can, and I always pass my math classes, but it just takes so much extra work because I don't have the same brain structure as many who were born at 9 months do. And that's the only thing I made it out with, being prematurely born with. A lot of kids, you know, when I was born, my mom was thinking, it's okay, we can build a ramp for a wheelchair to our house. You know, they were planning on a lot of stuff. A lot of preemies don't make it, especially when they're born at 26 weeks. I was actually researching a couple weeks ago, a preemie was born at 24 weeks, and he made it, and that's the earliest. And I was just 2 weeks after that.
Yeah. So you were right on the line.
I was right on that line. And I got very, very sick about 20 days after I was born. And the doctors gave me a medicine, and it went in the wrong place. And it corrected itself overnight. And that was on Mother's Day, actually, when I got really sick. And the doctor told my mom that it's pretty much medically impossible to recorrect itself, and he believed it was a miracle. And so because I was born 4 months early and survived, and because of that, my parents call me the miracle baby.
Thank you.
I have a plaque at the Ronald McDonald House and at Presbyterian St. Luke's in Denver.
How did that start make you special? I mean, you those challenges made you the person you are.
So just always being around the medical community as a kid growing up, I had other complications with my asthma and also sensory issues, which essentially everybody has sensory issues. It's more of loud noises. If they bother you, that could be considered a sensory issue, or different, you know, like thumping or other weird noise, like a vacuum cleaner always bothered me as a kid. So that was something that definitely affected me as a preemie. I've gone to a couple treatments for sensory issues, and it definitely helps. But when my mom explains it to people, she says everyone has it. Preemies have them more. They're more elevated than other issues. But
well, you know, what is that quote? What doesn't kill you makes you strong.
Exactly.
How has it made you strong? In what ways? Those special ways?
I'd say, well, after the treatments I've had, I'm definitely less sensitive, but I guess in a way that it makes me strong is growing up in the medical community, I've used it as kind of an advantage. It's a little bit of an inspiration to me. I would like to be a NICU nurse. I was in the NICU, which is neonatal intensive care unit, for 85 days, like I mentioned.
So you're going back there?
Yes, I think I'm going to go back there. That's what I'd like to do. And so that is how I'm using it to my advantage, I'd say, is just being around it. I've always been, you know, as comfortable as someone can be in the medical area. I know hospitals grow some people out, but it's pretty interesting to me. And just super fascinating that I was born at 26 weeks and I am somehow alive with, I mean, just the science of medicine. It's very, very crazy to think about.
It's almost like you, even though you don't have memory of it, you're drawn to it.
Yes.
I
mean, yeah.
I can see where some people would be repelled, but you're like a staff member.
Yeah.
You have all these hours.
I certainly do. Yeah. I don't even need to be an intern because I've already been there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You could use your plaque at Ronald McDonald's.
Exactly.
And say,
and that'll be how. I agree. I think I am almost drawn to it. I mean, as a kindergartner, everybody wants to be a ballerina. But I think the earliest was probably first grade. I told my mom I want to work with babies. And for a while I was differing, you know, maybe I don't want to work with babies because it was scary to me for a while that, you know, I'm just so small and fragile when I was born. And so I turned away from the NICU for a while. And just recently I've really thought about it, and wow, like there's some very strong babies out there who are born early and just fighting with every breath, and just hearing the stories of my birth and how many people came to the hospital to support is just very inspiring to me, and I want to go back and help other families.
That was Molly Hemmen. This spring, Molly will graduate from Glenwood Springs High School, and in the fall, she'll finish her prereqs at Colorado Mountain College. Next year, she plans to enter the nursing program at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on immigrant stories, please go to our website, www.immigrantstories.net. There you'll find other immigrant stories, past and present. Thanks for listening.